I think that the title that we suggested of The Secret of David HaMelech's Bitochen is a little bit presumptuous. Okay? Maybe that's the question that's bothering you. Like, what's going on here? What are you, first of all, who do you think you are? What are you talking? And, you know, what's going on? So first of all, it's not presumptuous because Chazal, Torah Misinai, have a Messiah from everything that was taught at Har Sinai, and all the insights that they give us were taught to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So we're speaking directly from the source. And if Chazal tell us the secret of David HaMelech's Bitochen, then we are studying and we hope to reveal the secret of David HaMelech's Bitochen. The only title you can have in the title is it's not secret because this was revealed thousands of years ago. Okay, so then the title was just to attract a little attention. Okay, fine. So let's.
Any specific attachment to this particular week?
No. Just happens just over here. Listen, it's sure. Enough that we try to keep on the same topic every week. To have an attachment to the specific week.
Well, for
that
the last
becomes,
2 weeks,
there was. Yes. You're right. That's a good question. That's a good question. No. But we can't always have an attachment, and we do the best we can, you know. So anyway, there's in Kapitel Lamed Aleph, there's actually a few places David HaMelech says. In Chof Hei, David HaMelech says, Evekai b'cho botachti alei voisho al yaltzu oivayli. That's in Kapitel Chof Hei. He says, my God, I've trusted in you. Don't let my enemy, let me not be embarrassed. Let my enemies not rejoice in me. Person who puts his trust in Hashem, and then the trust is disappointed, is embarrassed. And the enemies are delighted. you trusted your God, you know, look. Narina, you fool that you are. Okay, here is in Kapitel Lamed Aleph, there's a little bit of a different pasuk. The pasuk says, Mizmor leDavid, Becho Hashem chosisi alevoi sholoilam. Same idea. I have put my trust, chisoyon is a form of trust. The Vilna Goin says that the difference between bitochen and chisoyon is trust without a promise. Bitochen is more with a promise. I took refuge in you. I put my trust in you. There's a pasuk in Hazinu Tzur Chosoyu Boy, the rock that I took refuge under. And the Goin points out there that when you take refuge under a rock, there's no promise, there's no invitation. You don't have any meritorious requirements. You go under the rock and you're protected from the rain. Same thing. You just take refuge on Hashem and He protects you. Let me not be embarrassed forever, which means I'm counting on you to answer my prayers. I should not be embarrassed. Okay, fine. Now, so Chazal go on like this. This is a medrash. Ato moitzei shekol mi shebotech b'kodesh baruch hu hu matziloi. You find that anyone who puts his trust in Hashem, Hashem saves him. Shene'amar, a posuk in Yeshaya, Yivtach b'shem Hashem, v'yishoin be'lekov. Put your trust in the name of Hashem and lean on your God. In other words, like he can trust in the name of Hashem and lean on his God, which means you can only lean on something if there's something to lean on. In other words, the idea means that you'll be taken care of. That's the way they learn pshat in that posuk. So we see that kol mi shaboteach b'kodesh baruch hu, Hashem saves him. Fine. That's what we see from that posuk. Teda lochoshikein hu. I'll prove to you, the Medrash says, that this is true. Chanani mishol v'azaryo shabot chuboy hitziloisam. Chanani mishol v'azaryo trusted in Hashem, and Hashem saved them. Okay, v'chein atomaitzi b'Daniel. Daniel she'etzilu. Daniel she'etzilu. Moshe b'Daniel she'etzilu min habor. Daniel too. He was in the lion's den, and he trusted Hashem, and Hashem saved him. Okay, so now, first of all, so this is what do we have until now? Until now, we have that David HaMelech expressed his bitochen b'Hashem. Yeah. And Chazal say, where do you get, how you find that one who puts his trust in Hashem, Hashem will save him, brings a raya from a posuk in Yeshaya, and then proves it from Hanani Mishav Azariah, they trusted and they were saved, and Daniel trusted and he was saved. Omar David. So now David says he was very inspired by this whole discussion. Since this is true, that everyone who puts his trust in Hashem, you save him. I'm putting my trust in you, Hashem. I find this piece in the Medrash to be difficult to understand on two levels. Two problems that we have with this. Problem number one, the Medrash brings a posuk that says, why did David HaMelech have his trust in Hashem? Because he knew that anyone who trusts in Hashem, Hashem will save him. And he brings a raya from a posuk in Yeshaya. David knew the Tanakh, even though Yeshaya was later. But David trusted Yeshaya. David knew the posuk, and that's why he relied on Hashem. Good. Teda l'choshekenu. Did you ever hear such a thing? He brings a raya from a posuk, and now Chazal, I'm going to prove you that the posuk is right. You say something like that, they'll throw you out of school. Right? You get up yeshiva, tell the Rebbe, I'm going to prove the posuk is right. Prove the posuk, state and posuk. What can be more true than what state and posuk? Teda l'choshekenu. And secondly, the raya is not a raya. Did you ever hear a raya like this? Hanani Mishol Azariah trusted Hashem and they were saved. Daniel, when he went into the lion's den, trusted Hashem and he was saved. What does it have to do with me? That's the proof that call me Shebeiteach Bashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matziloi? Maybe they were worthy and I'm not. How do I know? One thing doesn't apply to another. Maybe one great tzaddik was saved. He had to be talking to save. So that's the first of all, what do you need a proof to a posuk? And second of all, how does an uvda, a situation that occurred, two situations that occurred, prove anything to call me Shabbateach? Those are super tzaddikim. Does that mean everybody? And David HaMelech, oh, based on this, the hoyel, then David HaMelech says, Omar David, hoyel v'cheinu, since this is so what you say, shekol mi Shabbateach, now I'm going to put my trust in Hashem. So Chazal here revealed the secret formula for David HaMelech's trust in Hashem. But the tzora is that it doesn't make any sense. Number one, if he based it on a posuk, I don't need proof. Don't bring proof to psukim. And maybe in Kiruv you have to do it, but you don't have to do it for David HaMelech. David HaMelech doesn't need anything more than a posuk in Yeshaya to be sure that one who puts his trust in Hashem will be saved. And second of all, the proof is from Uvdot. The proof is from historical evidence. What's the historical evidence? It happened once to Hanani Mishol Azariah. It happened again to Daniel. Is a raya that called Misha B'Tech B'Hashem? It's like you're going to bring a raya. Avraham Avinu was saved from the Kivshan Ha'esh. Same thing. Kol mi shebateach b'Hashem. Avraham Avinu is Avraham Avinu. And I'm me. And who says that because he was able to be saved, that the same thing applies to me? He was a perfect tzaddik and so forth and so on. And not to me. So we have two problems with this text. Problem number one is if David HaMelech has a raya from a posuk that if you put your trust in Hashem, then Hashem saves you. He doesn't have to prove it from stories, from Hanani Mishol Azariah. And number two, Hanani Mishol Azariah is not even a proof. Because it happened to them there. Who says it's going to happen to call me Shabbateach? Not only David HaMelech says, you see from there, call me Shabbateach Hashem. So I believe that this secret, as I called it, is a very basic formula for developing bitochen. It's Taka Chazal tell us the inspiration that David HaMelech, that's exactly what it says. It says, Omar David, hoyel v'cheinu, shekol mi shemoteach, Hashem matziloi, b'cho ani chosisi. So I'm taka relying on you. So this is David HaMelech's formula. What is that formula? And what's critical to us is how does it apply to us? So I think the formula is really very simple. The human being has two critical systems within him, as many systems, but there's two very critical systems in a human being. There's the intellect, the mind, and there's the heart. The thoughts, the understandings, the knowledge, and the emotions. Okay? Bitochin has two aspects to it also. And in order to develop this sense of reliance and trust and confidence and the ensuing peace of mind that I have, that I rely on Hashem, that He's going to take care of everything and I have nothing to worry about, it requires activating both systems. There's a mental peace that a person has to know. And that's based on a pasuk in Yeshaya. David HaMelech knew from the pasuk that says, "B'tach b'Hashem, yivtach b'Shem Hashem, v'yishoin b'lekov." That the person who puts his trust in Hashem can lean, can rely on Hashem, and Hashem will take care of him. That's how they learn pshat in the pasuk. David HaMelech knew it. So now David HaMelech says, intellectually I know. I know one who has bitochin, Hashem will not let him down, will save him. Shkoyach, you want to know a secret? We knew that a long time ago also. This isn't the first time we have discussed that topic. We're doing this already, 2 years almost? All right, so we've discussed that topic before. The problem is, how do you get from here, the mind, to here, the heart, the longest distance in the world? We want to get it into the heart. I want to not only know intellectually that one who trusts in Hashem, Hashem will not let him down, will save him. I want to feel it. I not only want to feel that one who trusts in Hashem, Hashem won't let him down. I want to feel that trust. I want to actually be able to have that confidence that, call me Shabbatech Hashem. Yeah, me too. Anyone who trusts Hashem, Hashem Matziloi, me too. That's what we need. I need to get it to the me too. I need to be able to take this intellectual thing that I know to be intellectually true and to make it part of my emotional feelings, part of my heart, that I now can trust Hashem and be confident clearly and totally that He will save me. How do I do that? That's where the pictures come in. That's where the examples come in. Teida lecho doesn't mean we're proving it intellectually. Intellectually, you don't have to prove anything that the Torah tells us. A b'shteitn posuk geendik. That's all there is to it. David HaMelech certainly didn't need anything to add to what it says in the posuk. And he knew the posuk from Tanakh, I guess, even though the timing is a little bit. So he knew. He understood. He was a Novi. He knew. Fine. But there's something else. There's the emotional development of that bitochon. There's the feeling. There's the heart part of it, not just the cerebral part of it. That, it's not enough. The intellectual knowledge penetrates to a certain extent. But we need more than just the penetration of the intellectual knowledge. What we need is pictures, living examples. Look at Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. They went into a Kibshan HaEsh, they trusted Hashem, and they came out alive. Look at Daniel, sitting there in the lion's den with Bitochon Hashem that no one's going to devour him, and he comes out alive. That picture can take the intellectual information that I have, that one who trusts in Hashem, Hashem will save him, and help me to internalize that trust in my emotions, in my life, in my feelings. Say, yeah, just like Daniel. I see Daniel trusting. Look what happened. I see Hanani Mishael Azariah trusting. Look what happened. I see Avram Avinu trusting. And look what happened. Mogen Avram, Melech, Oizer, Mishael, Mogen. Those are all different levels of bitochon, the Goyin explains. Baruch HaTu Hashem, Mogen Avram. Avram went into a kid for Shanaesh. He was trusting Hashem. Everything is relying on Hashem. And he came out alive too. So the pictures are what help to internalize these ideas emotionally. And this, I think, is really very, very significant.
But for laymen, that those pictures don't show the picture that, you know, it shows a picture for somebody who's pious enough to say, wow, look, those great people were helped. But for ordinary people, you could use better pictures.
Very,
you know?
Very good question. So first of all, let's look for some better pictures too. These were David HaMelech's pictures. We see from David HaMelech that you have pictures. Now, we'll find other pictures. We'll go there in a moment. But I would like to mention something that I'm sure I've mentioned here before, but the psychology of it is very critical to understanding this. Chazal say, Hillel Machayev Aniyim. We discussed this not too long ago even. The existence of Hillel and his learning Torah in a state of total poverty, his Mesiras Nefesh, to learn the famous story, he was on the roof and freezing there and listening to the Shir of Shmaya Batanyan because he couldn't have the couple of pennies it took to get into the Beis Medrash. Hillel Machayev Aniyim. Now Aniyim Amuchayev to learn Torah because Hillel learned Torah Banius. So the Rosh Yeshiva asked the question. He said, what are you talking about? Monav Shach. If you have the potential to learn Banius, then you're Chayiv even if Hillel never existed. And if you don't have the potential, then what does Hillel have to do with you? Hillel had the potential and you don't. What kind of talk is that? Hillel Machayev Aniyim. So he said beautifully, he said, this: the fact that Hillel existed, the picture of Hillel, I see a man who in total poverty was able to be Meisei Nefesh to learn, I now have new potential. The picture elevates the potential. It doesn't just give me something to think about, to dream about, to look at, to hope for. I now, that picture, and I have become a different person seeing Hillel, and that's why Hillel is Mechayev Aniyim, because now the Aniyim have enhanced potential because they saw Hillel. I would say the same thing over here too. That even though, and you're correct, that these, the Hanani, Mishael, Azaria, and Daniel are far above us, you know, I don't know, but in terms of David HaMelech, maybe he still was able to learn from them. But what we learn from them is Shekol Misha B'Tech B'Hashem. So really, it's not just David HaMelech learning that it applies to him. Because Chazal say we learn from them Shekol Misha B'Tech, which means all of us. The Teretz is, even though they were such great people, and even though on one level we have difficulty relating to them, but seeing that picture elevates us. The pictures speak to the heart. Pictures speak to the emotions. I've mentioned here, I'm sure, the difference between somebody who hears a sad story and gives a krechts, and somebody sees the same story in the movies. They're crying in the movies. The whole row is crying there. The whole theater is crying there. Why not in real life? But there it is, the picture, the size, the color, the music that's perfectly matim with the storyline to evoke. So pictures have that, music has that power. There are sensual sensory perceptions which make a difference in penetrating. And that's what I think that we see over here. That we see over here that in order to develop bitochon, it's a two-step process. Step number one is we have to study the text. We call that in the lingo of Rabbi Yisrael Salant, the Chochmas HaMusa. The Chochmas HaMusa. This is the Chochma. What do Chazal say? Chazal say, one who puts his trust in Hashem, Hashem will save him. One posik actually brings another posik at the end, also a posik from Yeshaya. Yisrael Neshem Hashem, Chua Seilomim, Loi Tevoishu, Loi Tikolmu. Hashem Chasisi Alevosh. David HaMelech used that posik too. Two psukim, as many psukim as you can find. But that's only for the intellectual piece, to know it. Now we want to internalize it and generate and inspire that feeling of bitochon. That is the pictures. And when a person does that, so happened to be last night I spoke in Detroit to the community. So I mentioned this and I gave them two examples which I'm sure, you know, we talk here so much, I'm sure that I've mentioned these, I may have mentioned them at one point or another. I gave him two examples from my personal experiences, which in my life form a foundation of the confidence that we have in Hashem, and the extent to which we turn to Hashem actually produces results. Kol mi shebotech b'Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu matziloi. He saves him. So I told them the story about how when we first moved many, many years ago to Los Angeles, so it was a summer, and my kids were in a day camp. My daughter, late at night, about 10:30 at night, says she needs 75 cents to buy a soda. Next day, they go on a trip in the camp. And things were tough in the world of chinuch in those days. Maybe these days too. I didn't have 75 cents. I was embarrassed to tell her I didn't have 75 cents. I didn't want to raid a pushka or something and put a little settle in there, you know. I said, I don't have 75 cents. She said, what should I do? I need to get a soda. It's hot, Los Angeles in the summer. I said, say tilim. You know, it's got to turn to Hashem. So she wasn't too happy with that suggestion. But she got together with her younger sister. She was about 8, her sister was about 4. And, they're going to say tilim. Fine. In the middle, she says, I don't get it. It's 10:30 at night. I have to go early in the morning to camp. Where's the money going to come from all of a sudden? Very nice. But the little kid says, maybe someone will think they got to give you. Big kid said, nothing. She went to camp without it. She comes home and she tells me the following. I see she's smiling. She says, a friend of hers, Purim time, at the Purim carnival, which was 5 months before, this was the summer, borrowed 75 cents from her. That morning, they never had spoken about it. They both forgot about it. She wakes up and she says, I owe that kid 75 cents. She brought it to camp. So, a picture gives me the sense that it's not just theoretical. It's not just intellectual. Stories, pictures, that's why people use stories and misholim and graphics, because they penetrate the emotions. One more story. I like to go from 75 cents to up in the numbers. So we're also living in Los Angeles at the time, and we had a small post-high school. We had a high school, but we had a small post-high school based medrash, just for those who really couldn't leave the city, because we used to send everyone away. It was much healthier spiritually in those days. So a couple of guys were back for the summer. This was the next summer, I think, or two summers later. And they already had learned in yeshivas for 2-3 years, and they were really b'nei Torah. It was very beautiful. And they said that they would consider staying for the year in Los Angeles and staying in the yeshiva. But they wanted that besides just giving a shir every day, which I used to do, I should spend the morning seder in the Beis Medrash, so they should be able to talk and learning in this, because it was very small olam. So I said, I can't see how I could do that. I owe a few a few hundred thousand from last year, and I have to raise another few a few hundred thousand this year, and I have to teach in the high school, and I have to this, after that. I said, I have 4 hours a day, prime time. I don't know if I could do it, but give me 24 hours. I don't like to make rash decisions. I go home, I ask my wife. She says, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Omer of the third parak, Omer of Nechunya ben Hakona, HaMekabel Olav Oil Teiro, Ma'avir Mimenu Oil Malchus Vol Derech Eretz. One who accepts the burden of Teiro, then the burden of Malchus, which to me was the payroll taxes, because they used to kill us, the Hebrew, the English, it's very, and Derech Eretz, I'm making a living. I said, I'm Mekabel. The next morning, I go back and I tell the Chevra, Rosh Chodesh Elul, I'm at the Beis Medrash the whole morning Seder. That night, I met someone and he says, my father wants to talk to you, he has something maybe. Whatever it is, I'll make a long story short. His father introduced me to someone in one of his buildings, was very sick, had no family, nothing, living in mamish in poverty. And we helped him out, we sent the guys in, they cleaned up his apartment, get him some food, this and that. But he's very, very sick. He wrote a will two weeks later, had no relatives, nothing. And he left money to yeshiva, didn't know what he had. He passed away Yud Zayin Elul, and he left the yeshiva $1 million. The day that I was Mekabel, that I told him I'm Mekabel, the oil Torah, I didn't even start yet. It was a week before Elul, or 2 weeks, I don't remember exactly. The pictures have a tremendous power. However, there's something that we also have to keep in mind. The stories alone don't do it. Because bitochin, as any madrega in Torah, is not in a vacuum. It's not just an emotional thing. The emotions require the authority of the posuk. It's that I know the Baal Bitochon will not be let down. I know it for a fact. Now the emotions can start to flow. Now I can take that from here to here. In a certain sense, I would almost say that there's no surefire way to get to the heart directly. The way to a man's heart is not through his stomach, it's through his brain. And has to go through the brain. I know, b'yedia brura, I know it's state geschrieben in the Torah, it's state in Pusik, that yivtach b'shem Hashem v'yishoyer alav, a Pusik in Yeshaya, gimel nun, or you can't tell if that's a gimel or a nun, a gimel or a yud, gimel yud or nun yud, what is that? All right, whatever it is. Okay, and there's another Pusik in Yeshaya, which is Mem Hey Yud Zayin Yisrael Noishem Hashem Chua Seilomim Loitevo Yishuv Loitikomu. Ah, that's the fact. Now I can begin the process of the taking the fact and the hakora, the recognition, the knowledge, the clarity of information, and internalizing it into my emotion. So we definitely need both. Stories are great, but when things are built on stories alone, it's nebulous, it's too vague. Okay, it happened to them, so maybe it's not going to happen to me. So what are you telling me stories? You know, like, what does it have to do with me? This? No, the truth is that it works. Now it's just a matter of feeling it, and pictures help to reach the heart. So that's really, I think this is a very good formula for a person who wishes to develop bitochon. And the formula is twofold. Study all the sources. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter calls that chochmas amusar. Study the sources and their sources. I have a source book like this. I'm actually compiling now of just sources which clearly indicate the power of bitochon. And then, when you've studied the sources, now look for the examples. Now look for the pictures. Now look for the experiences. Probably the best experiences are the experiences of my own life. And if I can't have the experience of my own life, people closer to me is a better experience. But if I can't have the experience of that, I can have the experience of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel also, and Avraham Avinu. Because it's the picture that has the ability to take the intellectual realization that I already have and internalize it emotionally. And that's the secret to David HaMelech's bitochon, which Chazal teaches. And that secret now is out in the open, and we can adapt that to our own lives as well. And how powerful it is. Because there's one more ingredient which he doesn't mention here. He says, "Lo tevoshu lo tikolmu." No, and that is that bitochon has a double, has a twofold benefit. It's Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu matziloi, saves him from his problems, and there's such a peace of mind and menuchas nefesh in the process because I'm relying on you. It's not my problem. You are in control. I surrender. You take care of everything. I can count on you and I'm going to sleep. Nothing to worry about. And that menuchas hanefesh is hafliv a fella. And I want to conclude with a chassidish story. I heard it. There's a recording from Yontel Erlich. Yontel Erlich was a very, and he sang Yiddish ballads. As he passed away about 40 years ago, something like that. But he was he made up these ballads in Yiddish and he sang them. Very, very, all like musadik, inspiring, you know, very, very beautiful, very mamish and tzaddik this man was. Anyway, so he has a whole series. I heard originally in a tape form, now they have it in a, we actually put it on recently. We put it on someplace. We have it on some file or something, computer file. But all on bitochen, and he has there a story that he sings in ballad form. I'm going to spare you the music because I can't, I can't do it. But he says like this. He says that they came to the Rebbe. They wanted to find out was heist bitochen. What do you do? What does it mean? So he says, come with me, we're going to go to this innkeeper, and over here we'll learn what bitochen is. They go to this innkeeper, and he welcomes them and come in, and he serves them breakfast, and everything is beautiful. All of a sudden, they hear banging on the wall, on the door. Kozakim, vovoseist. Today is the day that the year's rent on the property is due to the poritz. And by 4 o'clock today, if you don't pay the poritz the 300 ruble that you owe him for the year's rent, he puts you in debtor's prison. Those days they had debtor's prisons, right? You go to jail, he's going to put you in the debtor's prison. He says, tell the poritz, don't worry, I'll pay by 4 o'clock. And the people are looking, why don't you pay him already? I don't have any money. Okay, fine, what are you going to do? Hashem's going to help me. He said, I think the Loshen is, Derei b'shtet menit fashemen. He's not going to embarrass me. The same Loshen. The kids, another half hour goes by. They're pounding again. The poritz wants his money. Tell the poritz he'll have it by 4 o'clock. What are you going to do? Derei b'shtet menit fashemen. I'm not worried. They're begging again. He says, tell the poritz. Comes 3:30, has a half hour left. So the way he says it there, he puts on his Shabbos begodim, davens mincha, and then he goes and he stands. It seems the poritz's house was like at the other end of his property. Well, he was at the other end of the poritz's property. And he finds a little hill to stand on, and he's waiting where the Yeshua is going to come from. Like this, mamish menuchas hanefesh. Peace of mind, the Yeshua is coming, I'm not worried. It's a half hour before, nothing. They asked him, why don't you borrow money? So he said, I have nobody to borrow from, whatever, fine. There, the Hasidim is standing there by the inn door, and he's already a little bit, a half a block away by the hill, and he's waiting for the Yeshua. All of a sudden, they see a man with a wagon coming up and starting to talk to him. They figure, he didn't hear this, shakes his head, nope. No deal. The man rides away. They don't know what's going on. They just see this. They come back. The man comes back a little bit later, 5-10 minutes later. Again, they talk. Nope. Shuckles his head. Nothing doing. It's getting a little bit later, and he starts walking to the poritz's house. It's mamish a minute, a half a minute before 4 o'clock, and he's walking to pay the poritz without the money. But not a daiga in the world. He's paying the poritz by 4 o'clock. The man comes up to him again with the wagon. As he's setting foot into the poritz's garden, just it's mamish balt, it's 4 o'clock. And they talk, he gives him money, and he leaves, and he goes in, he pays the poritz. No, see them waiting there. They don't know what happened over here. He comes back and they ask him what happened. So he says, the man was a farmer from the next town. He offered to buy my next year's produce. Did you ever hear such a thing? My next year's produce for 300 ruble. 300 ruble was exactly the number that he had to give the poritz in a half hour. Otherwise, he goes to prison. Him with his family, with everything, goes to prison. 300 ruble, but it's worth 500 ruble. I'm not going to sell it for 300 ruble because I am sure, completely, with menuchas hanefesh, that I'm going to be able to pay the poritz. I'm not worried. I'm not going to lose 200 ruble for next year's payers. Wow, next year's payers. What? Who ever heard of such a thing? Right then. The kids of the guy comes back. He says, I'll give you 360. Nothing doing. It's already 5 to 4. I'll give you 420. Came back a third time. Nothing doing. He's walking to the poritz's house, totally confident, total peace of mind, complete menuchas hanefesh to pay the poritz without a penny to his name. And this guy pulls up a minute before 4, whatever it was, and he gives him his 500 ruble. Pays the poritz. Those pictures are very helpful. I have decided, I like to say publicly, this whole was a tape in those days when I lived in Los Angeles. It was a tape. I made a cheshbon once that I listened to this tape driving in the car. He has like five or six, I think, songs about Bitochen. 500 times. 500 times. I think another 100 since I'm living in New York, but that's all. But it's like, because the pictures, and especially if you put the picture to music, Reb Itzel of Peterburg, Reb Yisrael Salamta's Talmud Mulek says that when you have picture and then you take the words and you sing them and you put them to music, it penetrates deep. Music penetrates even deeper than pictures or together. Musical pictures is the ultimate penetration. This I used to prove from something else too. I discovered in LA first, and it's so true. I would drive and I would listen to some music on the way, and then I go into a meeting, and like 2-3 hours later, come out to the car, and as I'm putting the key in the door, those days that's what we did, and I'm starting to hum, I'm humming a tune. I turn on the car, and it's exactly the tune, exactly the place where I left it a few hours ago. And this happened to me time and again. What's the pshat? There it is, the music enters the subconscious. And the association of the car brings forth that subconscious memory. So if we want to develop this this system of bitochen, then the way it is, it's the intellectual. Study as much of the intellectual texts as available to us, again and again and again, and recognize shekol mi shebetech v'Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu matziloi, and then as many pictures and music as much as we can, which will help it penetrate, and the end result will be a hatzola and a total menuchas hanefesh, and there's no more problems left.